everyone, and thank you for joining us here for our Medically Speaking podcast. We have a very special guest today to kick things off, Don Boyd, President and CEO of Kaleida Health. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is a cool chat. I feel like we've chatted, you know, at events here and there in the hallways at the hospital, but this is like, we're going to take a deep dive.
Great, let's do it.
All right, so let's start off, first of all, your history with Kaleida Health. Sure. You went from intern all the way to the top. You've got quite a history.
Well, thank you. Yeah. It's a passion. I love what I do. I love who I do it with. The background, how I started and how I got into healthcare was really kind of by accident. I always wanted to be a pilot from the time I was 4 years old. I wanted to be a pilot in the Navy. And I actually had hours towards my pilot's license before I actually got my driver's license.
Oh my gosh. And so you were flying at what age?
So 16, right? Hadn't gotten my, I just hours in a simulator and things like that. But so I wanted to join the Navy, wanted to be a naval aviator, and had a scholarship to go to Syracuse University with the ROTC. And I failed my eye exam my senior year of high school. And so
because you have to have precision vision, right?
That's right. That's exactly
right. And not
right.
Corrected.
And so I got diagnosed with this degenerative cornea disease called keratoconus. And they said, you can do whatever you want in the Navy, but you cannot fly.
Oh.
Yeah. And so that was a very life-changing moment. And my parents and their wisdom said, you know, if you've kind of lost your dream, maybe you want to think about, you know, other options and where you want to go to school. And I came to the University at Buffalo and did my undergraduate degree there and started out as a business major and then transitioned into psychology and community mental health. So I was actually a therapist before I went back to get my MBA.
Oh my gosh.
So that's where that passion for people and the human condition and being mission driven, wanting to help. But I knew I wasn't going to be a doctor or a nurse. But I wanted to be part of a team that was committed to making a difference every day in people's lives in my own way. So that's how I found my way to healthcare.
So you found your way to Buffalo again for school because you're from the North Country.
I am.
Right.
I
spent a little time in the North Country. Yes. So I was up in Potsdam in that area. Yep. You were a little bit farther north and east.
I was in Plattsburgh, New York. And in fact, with this cold snap that we had here.
Piece of cake.
Exactly. I heard one of the weather forecasters describe it as, this is Plattsburgh cold. And I was like, yes, it is. That's my hometown.
Yes. You're like part polar bear over there.
I am.
But
I
you
am.
Came to Buffalo for school and then you never really left.
Never had to. So as you said, I did an internship at then Buffalo General Health System and the system was starting to form to what we know as Kaleida Health. And they offered me a job before I graduated from the MBA program at UB. I met my wife in the MBA program and she was able to secure an opportunity here in Buffalo at another great organization. And we both have been blessed to be able to grow personally and professionally in what we call our home of Buffalo.
Yeah. Now, is your wife, Anne, is she from Buffalo originally?
She's from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah, a little town in PA. So we both have rural community roots to us. And so that's why we enjoy Buffalo so much is just the quality of life that you have here, but the natural resources, it feels very much like where I grew up, but just on a much larger scale.
Yeah, and I'm not from here originally, but I've been here a very long time now. Once Buffalo gets its hooks in you, you're done, you're here.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Buffalo, we're gonna digress for just a moment. Buffalo Bills.
Again, absolutely.
you're an adopted Buffalonian, now a Buffalonian, but Bills fan through and through.
Through and through, 100%. Yes, absolutely. And so we have a great partnership with the Buffalo Bills, as you know. And I think so much of it is rooted in the common values that we have as organizations and the importance that each of, you know, healthcare and the Bills play in our community. But that value system, I think, is what aligns us. And then, you know, we have the fortune of having players visit our patients and our staff. And I will just tell you that as gifted and as talented as they are on the field, they're just as genuine and caring, compassionate people off of it. And it's amazing to see the impact that they have on our patients and on our staff. And I give the Bills a ton of credit for the type of organization they are and the type of people that they brought to be a part of our community.
Because they're busy. They have jobs, they have lives, they have families, and they make time for the Kaleida family, which
is
really great.
They do.
Have you ever run into any of them in the hallway?
I have.
They're very large human beings. You do one of these and then you look and you're like, you must be a Bill.
Yeah, there's a picture of me with Greg Rousseau that my kids still mock me for.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is as gifted and talented as and imposing as he is just a great, great person. They all are. They make such a difference and they're so giving and they understand the importance of the Bills to this community, and they represent them so well, and they show up that way.
Yeah,
so,
and Greg's mom was a nurse. So she had that connection to healthcare. I feel like a lot of the staff as well. The more I talk to people in the hallways, my mom used to work here, my dad used to work here, my child was at Children's. I feel like there are a lot of personal connections 100%. That draw people in to 100%. To do this.
Yeah, I just rode the elevator on my way over here with a woman who I was catching up with her. She's 45 years at Kaleida Health. She's going to be retiring in July. And those are common stories. I've been here for 27 years. So the beautiful thing about healthcare and an organization like Kaleida Health is that there is something for everyone. And given the size of the organization and the diversity of the roles that we have and the geography, it's not a job, it's a career. You can grow and develop. And we do a lot of things to help support that with people that want to return back to school or accelerate their career. And so you can tell I'm very passionate about what we do and the people. Makes a huge difference for our community.
I know this is probably going to be like, you know, picking a favorite child, but is there one or two things that you've accomplished?
Oh, geez.
Whether it be in the leadership role or prior to that, that you're especially proud of?
Oh, gosh, that would be like picking a favorite child. You're right. I would answer it this way. There are miracles that happen every day at Kaleida Health and every one of our organizations, every one of our sites of care. And that is because of the caring and the compassion and the skill set of the people that choose to work at Kaleida. And what I'm most proud of is the choice that they make to make a difference every day in somebody's life. And it is a choice, right? I mean, to do this type of work, regardless of what your role is, if you're a caregiver or your work supports one of our caregivers, there's just something special about people that choose to work in healthcare. It's different. It's in your DNA about wanting to make a difference in someone's life. And so if I had to pick something, that's what I'm most proud of is our people and the choice that they make.
And you are proud to be here. And I think says something, you know, you want to work where you're proud, where, you know, where you can make a difference. That's important to me in choosing, you know, you can go anywhere, but people choose 10,000 plus choose to be at Kaleida.
Yeah. And so that's when I think about our role as leaders, the most important people are the people closest to our patient. And so it's our job to make sure that they have what they need to provide the very best care. That's what we're here to make sure that they have and do. And so that's what inspires me. That's what inspires our team. That's what we believe in. That's what, you know, charges us up to come to work every day to make sure that they have everything. Because someday it's going to be my family or my friends or my relatives I have all my care provided at Kaleida Health. I would entrust anybody that I know with our team.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your leadership style. And you talked about, you know, making sure that your teams have what they need. If you had to describe your style as a leader, what would it be?
It would probably be a great question to ask my team. I'm sure they would have some answers and some thoughts about that.
Anonymous submissions.
Yeah, let's get a little survey of them. I love to read about leadership. And so, you know, there's all sorts of different styles. As you know, whether you're visionary or transformational or servant, I think it all comes back to the situation and the circumstances dictate what style and preference you use. But if I was to lean more heavily on my approach, it's what I said earlier. And I think people describe that as being a servant leader, that we are here to support the people who matter the most, which are our nurses, our assistive personnel, our physicians, to make sure that they have what they need. However anybody would define that, if that's servant or caring, I guess that's how I would say it.
But I also feel like putting the best people in the best positions and not micromanaging also, and just trusting in your team 100%. To do what they need to do, because you can't be everywhere.
No, that's right.
Nor do you probably want to be in an operating room.
No. Although I do like to watch surgery. I've done that a lot over the course of my career. But you're absolutely right, Heather. We want to empower people to make sure that that they know and they have the ability to act and do the right thing in the moment, whatever that might be, whether it's for a patient, for its family, for another colleague. And so we spend a lot of time cultivating that culture. Number one, we want expectations to be clear for people. What is it that we expect? We want, it's our job to provide you with what you need to be able to meet that expectation. And then we have to give you feedback. But what we always, always ask everybody is, please don't tell us what you think we want to hear. Tell us what we need to hear. We're inviting
people.
Be truthful,
yeah.
Yeah, be truthful, be honest, be vulnerable. It's safe. You can tell us. And then we can all, you know, use a football analogy, we can all rally to the ball and figure out the problem and then solve it together. So that is really what the organization's culture is all about and what we're constantly trying to remind people of and feel comfortable doing.
You had mentioned just a moment ago, you know, being in the moment. And I was talking with a colleague and something that we noticed about you is you are very present, whether it's at a board meeting or in the hallway talking to somebody. Like, we never see you on your phone. I'm like, you're the president and the CEO. Yeah. Shouldn't you be answering emails or text messages? When do you find time to do this? Because I feel like when you are, you know, in any particular spot, you are in the zone in the best of ways.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that feedback.
You're probably up until midnight checking emails.
I think for me, it's the curiosity, it's the wanting to understand, it's wanting to learn. So those interactions, those engagements, those moments to me are precious.
Yeah.
Because you're gathering information, you're learning, you're understanding, and it helps create the momentum and the direction where we need to go as an organization. So every interaction, I'm trying to pick up something. And part of it is, I think I'm curious. I just want to learn. I want to know about that person. I want to understand their point of view and their perspective. And how is that going to make us better? How is it better for patients? And the work, you get it done when you get it done. I don't, you know, it's a 24/7 job. And
When does your day start? I'm curious.
I'm up by like 5. I like to work out in the morning if I can and then get to work. And that's kind of that window of time where you can get a lot done. Not everybody's here and around and or people are starting to come in. So the beginning of the day, the end of the day, the tails are usually when you can get a lot of work done.
I remember it was Festival of Trees last year. We were talking about your, I'm going to call it a performance because it was like, bravo, sir.
Well, thank you.
You memorized the longest script and there wasn't a single mistake. Now, I'm a girl who for years, for more than, you know, 2 decades, worked with a teleprompter. The words were in front of me, maybe a little bit memorized. But you said that you practice while you're on the track. How long did it take you to practice that speech?
Well, my parents deserve the credit. I've been blessed with a good, I guess I'll say a pretty good memory. So their genes are really part of it. But for me, and I think the way we think about these opportunities and these interactions, whatever the event is, however big or how small, we want it to be, our mindset is we want it to be memorable for people. We want it to be an experience. And so for me, once we get the script and we work on it together and we go back and forth a little bit, I read it through a few times and it just starts to, I can start to see it.
Yeah,
I can start to see it in my head and I can see the words on the page and then I just practice it and I play around with it and I move it around. So yeah, I'll do it on the treadmill or if I'm driving to work.
Just recite lines to yourself?
I'll just recite lines. I'll change the order. I change it. It's probably, I've never written music, but maybe that's kind of like what people do when they do that.
Maybe that's your future career musician on the side.
I don't know. But thank you for the feedback. We just think it's very important that in those moments where we are out representing Kaleida Health, that we do it in a way that people will remember it. They'll want to come back. They'll want to repeat the experience.
Yeah, so, it was actually somebody that was sitting at my table and you had stepped up, you know, onto the stage and he literally elbows me and he goes, wait until you get a load of this guy. And I'm like, I know who Don Boyd is. And he goes, no, but listen to him.
Oh,
he goes, not a single piece of paper in sight. So I'm going to have to take some tips.
I guess I like to talk. Maybe that's the way to
say it. But when you also have the cool little, you know, microphone, the little headset.
That is a little different. I got to admit, that's an adjustment.
It's like you could be taking a to-go order or you could be delivering a speech to 1,000
people.
Which
I have done. I used to work at McDonald's back when I was in school. So
okay.
Yeah.
Was that your first job?
My first first job would have been, so I grew up on a small working farm. So I raised beef cows as a kid.
Wow.
That was what I did before I had working
papers.
That's
hard work and dirty work.
Yeah, especially in Plattsburgh where, you know, it's below zero most of the winter.
So. The muck boots.
Oh, and, all of it. Yeah.
Know, so maybe that's where the 5 a.m. wake up call.
Yeah.
It was probably 5 a.m. if not earlier.
That's
for,
exactly
for the
right.
Farm.
Yeah. But my first real organized job would have been a dishwasher in a restaurant. And then McDonald's was when I was here in college. I was a shift manager. So
the first jobs, I feel like, make you appreciate every job after that. And you
absolutely
know, not that you're not work. It's just a different type of working.
It is. But it is. I think a lot of my values and work ethic, excuse me, come from those early experiences of the type of work and who I did it with and what I learned. And, you know, you're a product of your environment, right? We each are. So,
yeah. Let's go back to Festival of Trees for a moment, because that was such an incredible mm-hmm. event. I mean, there were so many wonderful moments from, you know, the past, I'll even say 6 months, but mm-hmm. 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. Festival of Trees obviously comes to mind.
Yeah.
Just your overall reaction to the room full of people, the generosity, the record-breaking amount of money that was raised.
Yeah. The first word that comes to mind is humbling. I mean, to think about the impact that our organization has on our community and on other people's lives, and to have that many people want to share in our passion for what we do and how we do it, it's also an awesome responsibility. It reminds you of just how critical the work is that we do, and how we have to show up for our community.
Yes.
So I love that event, the Collide Ball, all of them, just any opportunity to engage with our community, to hear their perspective on what we do, the difference that it's made in their lives. And then also the opportunities where we can improve, because we always have those. So they're absolutely a highlight for me.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. A lot of other exciting things happening recently. I think of breaking ground on the wound clinic.
Mm-hmm.
I think of the infusion center.
Yes.
Just talk about where Collide is going just in the immediate future. We've
sure.
got a lot of exciting projects happening.
We do. And there was just a recent announcement from the governor about approving our safety net transformation plan. So we fundamentally believe that it's healthcare and access to healthcare is a right. And so we take that role and responsibility very seriously. And we want to make sure that particularly, and maybe some of this comes from my roots of where I grew up in a rural community, there's a lot of vulnerability in our rural communities and in our rural counties with access to healthcare. So our vision is to really help stabilize them, make sure that they have access to care as part of an overall integrated system. Be able to leverage the incredible talents and capabilities of Children's Hospital and the Gates Vascular Institute, Buffalo General, and Millard Fillmore Suburban, so that we can create this entire continuum of care. So that if you're a Western New Yorker, you have the ability, regardless of where you start your care journey, to enter into the Collide Health System and take advantage of all of the capabilities that our incredible staff provide every day.
And a new hospital?
Yes, with Brooks, down in Chautauqua County. So that is probably something. I mean, that's a 7-year journey, right? Starting with previous administration where we in New York State, where we laid out a vision for how can we preserve access to care. And without the governor's support, Governor Hochul and her team, that's a real risk. So to be able to deliver on that promise for them, the excitement, the enthusiasm, and when we go there for our meetings, in the community meetings, the outpouring of support and gratitude, it just reminds you of, you know, how special it is to do this work.
Because I think there are some of us that could potentially take it for granted having the medical campus pretty much right in our backyard.
Absolutely.
You know, for a lot of folks, it's 10 minutes, it's 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If you live an hour and a half away,
right,
that could be a really big deal, especially if it's a return visit. You need to come every couple of weeks mm-hmm. for an infusion. That makes all the difference.
It does.
In somebody's physical care, but also I feel like mentally too.
Absolutely.
Not having to leave home, being close to home, mm-hmm. and having the best of the best.
And I totally agree with you. And the other exciting thing that's on the horizon is the introduction of our new electronic health record. So Collide Health, University at Buffalo, and ECMC will all go on to the same electronic health record. So to your point, if you're a patient and you initiate your care anywhere within one of our three organizations, the ability to have that information follow you wherever you go is going to incredibly change. Some people have said it's the most transformational thing that's happened in healthcare in Western New York. I'm not in a position to judge that. That's what others have said, but the impact that it's going to have for patients is going to be remarkable. And it goes right to your point about access and improving access and access to information, which is so critical in providing care to patients.
What is your advice to somebody who might be thinking about entering the healthcare field? Now, I know originally that wasn't the direction that you were going to go in, but you know, all of these years later, you've remained in the system. Mm-hmm. For somebody, whether they want to be a doctor or a nurse or... Sure. I mean, there's a million different roles.
There are.
What is your advice to them?
So I'm so glad you asked me this question. So periodically, I have the opportunity to go back to my alma mater, University at Buffalo, and speak with students there. And what I always tell them is, in my own words, don't sleep on healthcare, meaning what you said. There's a role for everyone in a healthcare organization, particularly one of this size. And oftentimes people think of being a doctor or a nurse, but we have a security force. We run the largest restaurant in Western New York, right? We have our phlebotomy roles. We have a full suite of back office functions, finance, accounting, marketing,
podcast host,
right? So the point is that it's always like, don't sleep on healthcare. If you want to be a part of a team that wakes up every day committed to providing care, even if you're not a caregiver, you're part of making that happen. That's why I encourage them always to look at it. And there's a role for everybody. And then the opportunities for career progression and development are limitless. And healthcare is important in every community. So whether you want to stay in Western New York or someday your career may take you somewhere else, there will always be an opportunity in healthcare.
I feel like instead of trying to fit yourself in, you know, a box or a mold, look at the things that you're good at, look at the things that you enjoy doing, and then look at that healthcare realm and find a position that may fit.
You said it really well. Think about who you are and what you want, which is what are your values and what do you value? What do you want to do? What are you good at? And then find people that are like that, that share that, and surround yourself with them, right? And become a part of that team. And you will grow, you will flourish. That's my story. That's how I went from intern to this role.
Did you ever think when you were an intern that you would one day be leading the system?
That was always my goal. When I was in graduate school, the first day of graduate school, you know, you show up and everybody's like, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to either be the CEO of a health system or a health insurance plan.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you knew even way back then.
That was my aspiration. I didn't know if I would get there, but that was always the goal. And I have been so blessed to, you know, just have people throughout my career that have wanted to help nurture me and help me grow and help me develop. And the ability to do that in the same organization, in the same community that we love, it's not work. It's like it's a dream come true.
How do you balance the role that you are in now with your personal life, you know, taking a break? I know your kids are a little bit older, but, you know, balancing family and a busy corporate life.
Yeah, it's like anything. You just have to prioritize. You have to make it a priority. And I'm blessed that my family really does understand, you know, the challenges of you know, of the role or the opportunities of the role. And that's how we talk about it, the opportunity. And it's about prioritization. It's about making time when I'm not working. You used the word earlier about being present. I prioritize trying to be at every event that I can be at. And I might have to walk out and take a call. I might have to respond to something. But it's really about just making sure both are important. I fundamentally believe you cannot be successful at work if you are not successful at home, and vice versa. And so
if the cup is empty, are you filling everybody
else's?
That's
right. It starts at home. Success starts at home, and those relationships and that time, it's precious. You protect it. And then that provides you with the energy to be able to be successful at work, and they work together hand in hand.
I thought it was interesting the way that you put it. And I think it's a really great way to look at whether it's work or other things. It's not what you have to do. It's what you are able to do. Yeah. I think putting that positive spin on it, because you're very lucky to be 100%. In the position. And you worked hard to get there, but it is, you know, it's the opportunity and taking those opportunities and looking at those as such.
I had a mentor once early in my career who said, I had been offered an opportunity to change roles within Collider Health. It was something that I had no, early in my career, I had no background, I had no experience in it. And I'll be honest, I had anxiety about it, but that leader saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And he said, Don, just, and I was like, oh, I'm not sure I want to do this. He's like, you take every opportunity that you can and trust yourself and trust the organization that they're not going to put you in a spot or a position. And then just put your nose down, work hard, ask questions, be a sponge, and realize that you are going to make mistakes. And it's the most valuable lessons that I've ever, ever learned in my life have been from personally or professionally or from a mistake that I made. I try not to make the same one.
Sure. Learn from it.
Exactly.
Let's get into your free time. I don't know how much of it you actually have, but you talked about the balance, the work-life balance. What do you enjoy doing in your free time?
In my free time, I love to exercise. So if I have a free hour or for free 10, 15, that's what I'm going to go do. And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a walk. It could be going to the gym. It could be, we are so blessed in Western New York to have such natural resources that you can go out even in the winter, right? You just have to find the what it is that you're passionate about and that you enjoy doing. So my free time, if I'm not working, I'm with my family and we are prioritizing doing something that is taking in Western New York or some form of exercise.
What is your workout of choice? Are we talking running, hiking?
Yeah. So when during the summer, my workout of choice is cycling. During the winter and most other times, it's some form of, you know, weight training or, you know, something like that.
Do you do races?
I used to. Back in the day, I used to do marathons and triathlons, but as our family situation evolved and the kids got older and it was really more important for me to be at their events.
It's a lot of training.
Yeah, it is.
I wouldn't know anything about it because I don't do any of those things, but I've heard.
Yeah, it is a lot of time. And so that started to wane. And then, so now I kind of pick my spots where I can do those things, but
Yeah. You sort of answered this, but I'll ask it in a different way. Again, you're very busy. If you had 1 hour that just popped up in the middle of the day on your calendar, it cannot be work related.
Oh, it's not. Oh, so it's not.
This isn't catching up on emails. Okay. This isn't, you know, holding an emergency meeting. Yeah. If all of a sudden something got canceled and you had an hour and you could do whatever you wanted in that time frame, what would it be?
Oh, it would be something involving my kids, you know, you know, either going to a sporting event with them, they're athletes, watching them play. You know, my wife obviously would be what would be a part of that. So if I had a free hour that popped up in the middle of the day, it would be something with them.
I love that.
Yeah.
Any secret talents that we don't know about?
Oh, geez. Well, I guess the one that comes to mind is I go through sort of these cycles where I will pick up the guitar and play. It's usually in the wintertime.
I wish I would have known this. Well, that's why it's a secret, because I would have had a guitar here waiting for you.
So usually in the winter when we kind of, you know, once the holidays are over and you kind of get into this period of time, that's when I'll pick up the guitar and you know, kind of try to brush up on my skills. And then once the weather's nice, it's about, you know, being outside and taking advantage of Buffalo's natural resources.
Do you have a favorite artist?
Yeah, that's a great, the music that I typically try to play is finger picking music. So like things by the Beatles, like Blackbird by the Beatles is one of the songs I like to play. Fast Car by Tracy Chapman is something that I like to play. So things that
we're going to have you back on the podcast and it's just going to be, going to be music hour with Don Boyd.
Yeah. Well, I would have to practice for a while. Remember, this is only for a few months out of the year and then I'm kind of back to my regular schedule. But it's fun. That's what I like to do. It's very relaxing too.
Are there any like bucket list things, whether it's travel or picking up a hobby, anything that you haven't done that is in the sort of near future?
Yeah. Oh. And well, it's on the bucket list. I don't know if it's in the near future, but I would love to go to the Olympics. I love sport. I love activity. I love competition. And just to be a part of that, to see people who have dedicated themselves to their country and dedicated themselves to their cause or their sport, competing in a natural way like that, to me would be a really incredible opportunity and experience.
I mean, LA.
Yeah, maybe. Well,
that would be a relatively short flight.
It would be. So the Winter Olympics in 1980 were in Lake Placid, which is not far from where I grew up. So. Yeah. I think that was also part of that formative experience. I was young, and to just kind of see the energy that came with that and how it really overtook our community was impressive.
Would you want to see winter or summer games?
So that's a great question. I would think, I think I'd do winter.
Yeah.
I think I would do winter.
Placid, yeah. Obviously have been to like the ski jumps.
Oh, yeah.
Are ridiculous.
They are.
And you can just sit there and watch people practice.
You
and
can.
I'm like, I can't imagine, you know, you talk about, you know, taking that first leap, whether it's career, them taking an actual physical leap off.
It is.
Which is basically like a cliff.
It is. So funny story, my seventh grade social studies teacher, Mr. Durant, was the gentleman who ran the gate at the top of the lift. So I actually had the opportunity to go up there with him when I was in school. We did a little field trip there. It's impressive. You get to the top and you think, I don't think I could do this.
Oh, yeah. Nope. I think I would climb. I've been to the top just to visit. But yes, to actually go down to the very end. And imagine the first time that anybody does that. You can practice all you want in the pool or the foam pit, but the first time you take that leap.
Well, and to me, the interesting thing about the origin of some of these is, how did somebody come up with the idea of, this is a sport, we're going to go do this
I'm
sport.
I'm going to put knives on my feet and then see how fast I can race around an ice rink.
Exactly. Like, I would love to know how that started and how two people sitting together said, I got an idea.
Yeah.
Let's go do that.
Exactly. Anything else that we didn't touch on that you want to?
I just want to thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah,
I mean,
this has been fun.
Yeah, it's been fun for me too. And I would just say, I always want to end by just thanking our team at Kaleida Health. I said it earlier, I do think that there's just something special about people, regardless of what your role is, that choose to work in healthcare. And it's that they believe that in that moment when a patient or family is in need, they want to be the person that turns to make a difference. I think that's just so impressive. And so I'm just very proud to be on their team and want to thank them.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing me on board your team as
well. Yeah, no, thank you. we're glad you're here.
Yeah. So talk about, you know, transferring skills to
Absolutely.
There's a role for everybody.
There is a role for everybody and an opportunity.
Yeah.
But thank you, Heather.
Yeah, thank you. Don Boyd, President and CEO of Kaleida Health. Thanks so much for being us. And hopefully you'll come back.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe with an update on the guitar or the Olympics.
Maybe. That would be great. I'd look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.